This is Press Play. I'm Madeline Brand. Welcome back to a special Press Play on KCRW, California's Clout in 2020. We are in Long Beach in front of a live audience with Josh Barrow, Gustavo Arellano, Nomaki Konst, and we are going to bring in Ben Christopher now. He is political reporter for CalMatters, where he's written about candidate fundraising in California. Welcome to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ben, you have really done a deep dive into the finances.
I have.
You have mapped every single zip code.
I have.
As to who is giving to whom.
Yeah.
And what are the big takeaways?
So it reveals the ideological diversity of California, and it's in many colors. So if you were to make this zip code map, which I did, of itemized contributions in California, which means these are sort of the big money contributions, people who have given over $200 to a presidential candidate. Well, first off, it's a map of where rich people are in California.
Yeah.
So the zip code, the top zip codes in terms of overall contributions, they are 90210, they're Brentwood, they're the Silicon Valley. It's not too surprising there. But if you were to look at sort of which candidates win those zip codes in terms of which candidates get the most from each zip code. It's a diverse state, I guess you could say. Candidates like Senator Harris or Pete Buttigieg, they do really well in San Francisco or downtown Los Angeles. Whereas if you start going outward into inland, President Trump starts doing really well. Bernie Sanders does really well. So there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Donald Trump's top zip code is in Rancho Santa Fe, right?
That's true, yeah. So that's just north of San Diego. But actually, Donald Trump does quite well across the state, both in terms of the aggregate numbers. If you were to look at who's raised the most in California from these large donors, across 2019, he has raised more than everyone but Kamala Harris. So, it's surprising on the one hand because, hey, this is California. It's supposed to be blue. On the other hand, there are, 17 Democrats running? 16? I can't actually keep track.
It keeps changing every day.
So, that slice of the pie is being divided up lots of different ways, whereas Trump is getting most of the funding on the Republican side.
And who's getting funding from the small donors?
So we don't have that broken down at the state level because they're not itemized. But if you look at national numbers, candidates like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are doing quite well with small dollar donors.
How is Pete Buttigieg doing?
So he's doing actually quite well. He had there was the Buttigieg bump earlier in the year, and that kind of coincided with a spike in contributions to him, and we saw that pick up again in the third quarter. He's done quite well in West Hollywood, in Palm Springs, in certain parts of San Francisco, and so there's certainly there is clearly appeal among donors in the LGBT community. I think that's fair to say. And he's done quite well in Silicon Valley as well.
And is there a split between people who are getting more money and who is more appealing, polling-wise?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't want to say they're inversely related, but there's definitely a disconnect there in California. Again, just looking at the, these are large donors, so if you'd like, you could call them the donor class, maybe. In terms of who's doing really well in California, it's Kamala Harris, it's Pete Buttigieg, it's Joe Biden. And these are not the names that, well, perhaps Buttigieg sort of excluded. These are not the names that are the top of the polls in California, where Elizabeth Warren is doing quite well here in most recent polls.
I'm wondering what, listening to this, what do you take away from this, Josh, in terms of how the candidates should be campaigning in California? They obviously come here. This used to be just a cash register, but now it's something else. How do they need to campaign on the cash register side, but also on the side of getting voters?
Well, I think to a significant extent they're separate. And as I note on Left, Right, and Center, when we talk about this fundraise stuff, my husband is a fundraising operative. The Buttigieg for President campaign is a client of his. But I think, one thing that's been interesting with Warren is that she made this decision early on that she is not doing the normal high-dollar fundraising operation that you see. She's not going and pressing the flesh at fundraisers with donors. You are welcome to write her a check for $2,800 if you want, but that's not going to get you a photo with her. It's not going to get you a meeting. It's not going to get you into a small room. And she's been able to do that because of that, of the success that she has had with small donors, to a significant extent replicating the success that Bernie Sanders has had. And I think that that's been an advantage for her in that it gives her more time to campaign. People talk a lot about fundraising and the way that it shapes incentives for candidates and that sort of thing, and that's obviously important. But it is also an enormous time suck. And so I think that, you know, one of the many problems with the Kamala Harris campaign has been, you know, she raised a lot of money, at least initially, but she was also spending a lot of time raising all of that money, and clearly did not have an effective time, you know, convincing voters that, that they ought to vote for her. So I think that, you know, if you are able to build a campaign model around not doing that fundraising, that can be a big time advantage. I mean, I think also Warren was in a position where she probably wasn't going to do as well with some of those high dollar fundraisers anyway, so her opportunity cost was not as high. But I think that's been an interesting strategic choice that they've made here, and it means that, you know, to the extent that Elizabeth Warren comes to California, I mean, she's coming to California to campaign.
So what do you think, Gustavo? What does this say to candidates and how they should be campaigning in California? If they do need to raise money, what do they need to do?
They do need to raise money, obviously. And at least in California, it is a bifurcated state. So, yeah, you know where to get the money. The Hollywood executives, Silicon Valley, maybe some of the old money in like San Francisco and Orange County or whatnot. But as you see with Bernie, as you see with Warren, you also have to just travel the state and you have to see all these different constituents that are going to be enthusiastic about you. Again, I cannot overemphasize at least what the Democratic Party is in California. It is progressive to the hilt. This is the sanctuary state now. This is a state where Javier Becerra, the attorney general, and Gavin Newsom revel in not just suing the Trump administration, but openly mocking them. So you're going to end up, and the voters of California, the Democrats, for the most part, like them because they're the ones who are getting elected. I mean, for crying out loud, the Latino Legislative Caucus, they released a video on the 25th anniversary of Prop 187, quote unquote, thanking Pete Wilson. It was like the biggest trolling that I've seen by a supposedly polite Democratic Party in a long, long time. And it's really cool. They put it out online. It was Lorena Gonzalez from San Diego, the assemblywoman there. So I think that's what the candidates need to do. They need to connect with those voters. Like, the money's important, yeah, but if you actually talk to the rabble, like, the rabble couldn't vote, and they want to vote in this coming election.
That actually, when you think of Sanders and Warren being overly, I don't know if the word is avaricious, but campaigning for dollars goes against the central tenet of their campaigns, right?
Of course.
Central platform of, you know, being against the millionaires and billionaires.
And you know, one thing that we're keeping out of this conversation, there's still super PACs. And there are still, the Democratic Party, I mean, is still reliant on large donors. I mean, the DNC still has fundraisers in Southern California all the time. And part of the reason why Donald Trump, just looking at these numbers, Donald Trump, from July through September, raised $11 million in California, and the next highest was Kamala Harris at $2.8 million. You know, Donald Trump has whatever super PACs he's going to put together and the RNC. And, you know, the Democrats, I think, are struggling with this because of the identity of the party. The DNC is still relying on the big dollars, but whoever is the next president, you know, they're going to dictate what the Democratic Party's fundraising numbers look like and sound like, and that dictates the policy of the Democratic Party. So a lot of this battle is really over big donors versus, you know, the union members and the union leaders who are running the DNC. And that actually comes down to the DNC membership as well, because you do have a membership that's split between lobbyists and big donors and the activists and the organizers and the union members.
But then you have a billionaire like Tom Steyer, for example.
Right. He's burnt 95% burn rate, $49.5 million spent on the race, and 98% of it was his money.
I believe he spent more on ads than everybody else combined in the race. And it's gotten him to like 3% in some early
he's
states.
He's on the debate stage, though.
He's in Nevada. Yeah. He's doing well.
But he's like a potted plant on the debate stage. It's amazing how little effect he has had for all of this money that he's spent. I mean, I think it's interesting that Mike Bloomberg announced that, you know, as he, you know, even as he isn't yet really running and may not ever run, he's doing a big anti-Trump ad buy, which, you know, at least, you know, that's useful to the Democratic Party, maybe, even if he doesn't run. So that seems a lot better than what Tom Steyer's been doing.
But I do think, going back to your earlier question of whether moving the primary had the intended effect of transforming California just from this ATM machine at the cash register to a place where the voters here actually matter to candidates. And I think the fact that you see someone like Bernie Sanders, for example, was just passed on his way down to Long Beach. He stopped in Fresno. They just opened an office in Fresno. In Fresno, like, presidential candidates don't go to Fresno, but the fact that they're actually making an appeal not just to the money of the state, but actually to the voters, I think that does say something.
All right. We are going to end our segment there. Coming up, the elephant in the room, impeachment. We're going to ask our panelists what they think about the Democrats' strategy so far. That's coming up next on Press Play.